American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning. Pastor Jeff here. It is Wednesday, August 28th. I hope you're having a great hump day so far. And I was just thinking, as I'm recovering from being sick, up from the grave he arose, as the song says. And so I'm feeling a lot better. And I am sitting across the table today from Florence Nightingale, my wife Debbie, who has nursed me back to health.
That's right.
And she's keeping me on task with taking my medicine and vitamins and all the things that I'm doing to get better. We have a big day coming up tomorrow night with our two grandsons, Jack and Chase, coming to visit us for Labor Day weekend with their mom and dad. So Pastor Jeff's got to get better.
We also have a big concert here at our church tomorrow night. Big, we have Shane and Shane that are going to be here.
Yes, if you live anywhere near the Texarkana area, we'd love for you to join us Thursday night, tomorrow night, at First Baptist Texarkana, 7 o'clock. Shane and Shane, the worship team duo, are going to be here. They're going to be singing some songs on their own and then some songs with our choir. And they're not performers. They're worshipers, mm-hmm. and they lead in worship. And so many churches sing their songs. And people that aren't familiar with Shane and Shane by name will be familiar with their songs. And so I'm hoping to get Shane and Shane on the program and record a program with them that we can air just a week or so later. But
and right now, flash sale, 20% off tickets.
Yeah, I think tickets are $20, and you can go to fbctexarkana.org.
Is that 20 with the 20% off?
No, I think it's 20.
20, and then so it'd be 20, so it'd be 16.
No. They're $25.
25, okay, gotcha.
It's 20% off.
That's what I was asking. Okay, I didn't know if 20 represented the 20%
off. So the bottom line price is $20.
There you go, that's what I wanted to know.
Yes, and so we'd love for you to come and be a part of that if you can, and it'd be a joy for me to meet you, and so we're going to be, I'll be just milling around the crowd and until we get started. I think the doors open at 6, and so it's going to be a great, great concert. Okay, so...
So
here's our question for today. Debbie and I have been talking about this, and here's the question we want to talk about today. You know, when Debbie comes on the program, we kind of get away from all the political things, all the in the news things, and we talk about relationships. And here's our relationship question. What is a wife to do when her husband won't lead? We hear from women on a fairly regular basis, you know, they're the spiritual leaders in the home. Their husband is not doing what the wife thinks the husband needs to be doing. You're not leading me. They can get so frustrated. And does the Bible have anything to say about it? And we know the Bible says that a husband is to lead his wife and to lovingly lead her, and a wife is to submit to her husband. Here's what the scripture says, 1 Peter chapter 3. It talks specifically about a wife who has a husband who's not leading, who's not doing the things that he's supposed to be doing. He's not walking with God in the way he is supposed to be doing that. Maybe he's not a Christian at all. Well, the Bible gives us insight. It says, in the same way, 1 Peter 3:1, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, which could be lots of different ways to be disobedient to the word, if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. That is so critical for women to hear, because if you're a take charge, strong-willed woman, Many men find that attractive. My wife is a take charge, strong-willed, very capable woman, and I have always been attracted to that. I'm more laid back. She's not as laid back. But that can create some friction in the relationship if the husband feels like the wife's not letting him lead and the wife feels like the husband is not leading very well.
Well, let me put one caveat to all of this conversation at the very front end of this, and we will probably repeat it in the next segment. But this, all that we're going to be talking about does not apply to women who are in abusive situations or who their husband is trying to lead them into illegal activities, breaking the law, those kind of things. If you are, as a female, if you are in a physically or emotionally abusive relationship, your first responsibility, particularly if you have children, is to get help in that situation, to go to a qualified person that can help you and can talk with you. So, you know, when the Bible talks about submission, it is not under those circumstances where you are to continue to submit to your husband, even if he is physically abusing you and or if he's leading you to want you to do something illegal or to break the law. So with that caveat being said, you know, what the irony is, Jeff, what you were talking about, like most phlegmatic, kind of laid back men are normally attracted to a more type A driven woman, okay, because opposites attract.
Right, but just, and vice versa.
And vice versa, yeah. And so if you have to constantly be working on just this tension that's there between maintaining your individual personalities, but yet being obedient to the Lord as a wife, to be able to submit to your husband and respect him in the way in which the Lord has called you to do. And there aren't a lot of caveats in those scriptures where it says, hey, wife, if your husband is doing X, Y, and Z, then submit, then respect him. There aren't those caveats.
No.
It's kind of an unconditional command that the Lord places on us as wives. And that can be very difficult. And for those of us that lived on our own, maybe we're single for a while, living on our own, kind of making all of our own decisions, doing our own thing, that can be even harder when we come into the marriage situation, because it's like, whoa, hold on.
Or a situation, and we've experienced this with a couple friends, the husband works out of town during the week.
Right.
And so he's gone 3, 4, 5 days, and then he comes home on the weekend, and the wife is forced to, hey, you're kind of holding down the fort, running all the...
Making all the decisions.
Yeah. And then you know, the husband comes home, and then he wants to just dictate, you do this, you do this. And that's a hard transition for the wife.
Right. Yeah, and I know our first really big fight after we got married, and we're
on a honeymoon.
Honestly, we can count on one hand the really big arguments that we've had in 38 years. We just get along really well. We don't argue very much. But the very first one was on our honeymoon, and it was because you felt I was trying to take over,
right,
and lead, and I was clueless. I had no idea why you had gotten so upset with me.
Yeah.
And so I remember thinking, oh my gosh, have we made a huge mistake? You know, because we're right out of the chute. We got along so well while we were dating. We only had like maybe one real argument while we were dating. And now all of a sudden, this is what I'm dealing with. I remember just feeling like, whoa,
yeah,
hold on.
Okay, so we were young, what, 23, 24. Uh-huh. I think I was still 23 when
we were 23 when we got married.
So, yeah, I had put in my mind, you know, the husband is to lead. You make sure you're the leader. The wife is she submits to you and you lead. And what does that look like? You know, finding that rhythm of how that looks, because a husband is to lovingly, gently, patiently lead his wife. He doesn't domineer his wife. He doesn't, you know, the Bible says about Jesus, he shall lead his flock like a shepherd. The shepherd doesn't jerk the sheep around. He leads them. And so I remember I was, I had kind of a warped view of what that was supposed to look like. And I had an insecurity because I knew you are naturally more inclined toward leadership and decisions than I am, because you were more choleric in your personality. I was more phlegmatic, more laid back. You're more type A. You kind of see what needs to be done. And so I'm a little at a disadvantage thinking, okay, she's better at this than I am, but I'm supposed to do it. So I got to, you know, assert my leadership and my masculinity, and she's not letting me do that. And then I got my feelings hurt, and then you didn't know what was going on, and
right.
I didn't know how to share that.
Yeah, and even when I ask you, you couldn't really even explain it.
No,
it was
one of those things, as women often do to men. Well, if you have to ask, something's wrong. You know, I mean, you should know that you hurt my feelings. You should know that you disrespect me.
You're saying men are thinking that.
Yeah, men are thinking that. Yeah, okay. That. And just like a wife, when the husband says, I don't know what I did, what did I do wrong? You shouldn't even have to ask. You should just know. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's the age-old problem with communication. We have to spell it out. And I wasn't mature enough to really let you in to, hey, I have a sensitive spot here because I don't feel like I'm all that great in this area. But, you know, we got past that, mm-hmm. thankfully.
Even on the honeymoon, we got past
it. Yeah, because that would have really made for a crummy honeymoon.
Sure would have, yeah.
But we had to learn how you would let me lead and what that looked like in our marriage. So we had a good team moving forward.
Well, you know, I remember reading as an illustration about this very topic about a two-headed snake. And we had not lived in Texarkana too terribly long when someone in town had found a two-headed snake, and it was like front page news on our paper. This was back in the day when you actually got newspapers. But I remember I was fascinated by it because I'm just absolutely terrified of snakes. So it was just even more vile than just a normal snake when I saw this thing. But I did some research on it, and a two-headed snake, I think we could all agree, anything in nature that has two heads is a freak of nature. It's right. An anomaly. It's not natural. It's not normal.
Right.
Okay, well, in the process of reading about these two-headed snakes, I found out that they never really live very long because they are very vulnerable to prey, because they will argue on which direction they're going to go to get away from the prey, which makes them very susceptible to prey.
They're double-minded.
Yes. And then they can starve to death because they argue over who's going to eat, uh-huh. not knowing that if one of them eats, it feeds both of them.
Yeah, they fight.
They fight over the food. And so the analogy is that in our marriages, if we have two people struggling to lead constantly and just fighting over who's going to be in control and who's going to be in charge, that we make our marriages very vulnerable to outside attack, to affairs, to those kind of things. And we also starve our marriages of intimacy and friendship and closeness and all those things that we so desperately long for. We starve the relationship of that. And so just like with a freak of nature with two heads, within the marriage relationship, if you have two people trying to co-captain the team, it just doesn't work very well.
No, it really doesn't. I remember hearing a message one time, and it was from Adrian Rogers. He said, if you have two heads, it's a freak. If it has no head, it's dead.
Right.
So somebody's got to be the head. Somebody's got to be the leader. And God has set it up in marriage that the husband is the leader. He set it up in the church that the man is the leader. Adam was the first one created. God created Eve, the woman, to help the man, not vice versa. And so together we're much stronger. So how did God create Eve? He took a part out of Adam from his side, flesh and bone, and he fashioned this beautiful creature called woman. She's like him, but she's not like him. And so just as, you know, he was naming the animals, he noticed the animals had a counterpart. And Mr. Lion had Mrs. Lion, and Mrs. Lion was like him, but not like him. And so he noticed, okay, you can put those together. They obviously fit together, but they're different. And that's how God made us. We're different. Males and females are different. And we're trying to erase the differences and saying that a man can be a woman, that a woman can be a man. There is no difference. baloney. There's a huge difference. And our world is so upside down and so twisted and perverted and reprobate these days that we don't even know what a woman is. We can't even define it. I think that people can, but they're too afraid to define it because they want to be politically correct in this wacky world in which we live. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about what to do. What is a wife to do when the husband, the designated leader, is not leading? And God tells us what to do as wives in that situation. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff and Debbie here. We're talking about what is a wife to do when her husband won't lead. And our key scripture is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, verses 1 and 2. In the same way, you wives, be submissive. That means to place yourself under, to rank under. It's a military term. It's just like a private would put himself under his superior. Be submissive to your own husbands. And remember, that doesn't mean the private is inferior to his ranking officer. It just means he's placing himself under. They're equal in the eyes of the Lord, but he is putting himself in terms of the organization. Be submissive to your own husbands so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, you live with a husband and he's not walking with God. Either he's not a Christian or he's a Christian, but he's away from the Lord. How do you reach that person? He's not going to be leading you spiritually because he's not spiritually in a good place. Even if they're disobedient to the word, they may be one without a word. That's key. Without a word, you don't preach at them. You live it out before them by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Men respond to respect. They don't respond well to nagging, to preaching at them, to pointing out all the things they do wrong. That pushes them in the other direction. They don't want to be around you if you're going to constantly be a sermon calling them out. So, Debbie, here we are. You and I get married. And I want to be a good leader, and I want to walk with God. So we didn't have that disobedient to the word thing. Mm-hmm. But we did have a problem with you're naturally better at leading than I am.
Yeah, we never had an issue with your spiritual leadership. You were always in the driver's seat leading spiritually. So it was just, for us, the struggle was more with just the daily living out life, making daily decisions, that kind of thing. And you know, we hear from different women, and I mean, I've thought these things myself, but you know, we often have a tendency to long for our husbands to lead, to tell our kids about the Lord, particularly if the woman has a a deeper relationship with the Lord than the husband does. Like,
and that can be often.
That can be often, yes. And so, you know, you maybe your husband works a lot and you long for him to spend more time with you and with the kids. And, you know, you look at your husband and you think, man, he just isn't as close to the Lord as I long for him to be. I long for him to be in the Word, to be studying, to desire to go to church with me.
To pray with the kids,
all that kind of thing. And, you know, you can talk to him about it, and in all likelihood, it just doesn't help very much. He probably just shuts down if you talk to him about those kind of things. And oftentimes, when you start pointing these things out, he can get very angry and mm-hmm. lash out and turn the tables, where he's starting to tell you all the things you're doing wrong,
right?
In defense of himself. And so I know that early in our marriage, if I felt that there was any kind of vacuum in leadership, in decision making, I would just jump in and I would make a decision. And I got real convicted about that. Number one, it didn't bode well with you when I did that, and we ended up having, you know, quite a few conversations over it. But I really started looking at it and asking the Lord to open my eyes to whatever it was that I was doing that was causing and exacerbating this issue that we had, because I can honestly say I didn't know what it was. I was not intentionally being disrespectful. I wasn't intentionally usurping your authority in the home. I wasn't intentionally doing those things. But just by my very natural bent in my personality, I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't excuse it. I just had to ask the Lord to really start showing me, hey, what is it that I'm doing that is, what is my part in all of this that, mm-hmm. that's causing this to not have resolution, that's causing us to continue to have to talk about this? And at the time, I was teaching piano lessons, and I felt like one day the Lord just dropped it into my spirit, where he said, you know, Debbie, if your piano students came to the house and you never even let them sit on the piano bench, you sat on the bench and you just showed them how to play, but you never let them play, would they ever really learn how to play the piano?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that was no. No, they would not. And so I got very convicted about that, because it's like, okay, I'm making these decisions and I'm doing these things, and if I continue to do them, Jeff's never going to do them. He's never going to do them because I'm doing it.
Right.
And so on the heels of that came, well, but what if he does it and he makes a horrible mistake? And then I had another revelation, and that was, what makes you think you're not going to make a mistake? I mean, what makes you think, Debbie, that all of the decisions you make are going to be good decisions?
Right.
And they're not, you know? And so I had to really come to terms with that, hey, you know, just like I'm teaching a piano student, when she sits down at the bench to play, they're not going to get every note right. But I'm not rapping them over the head with a bat because they haven't gotten every note right. I'm gently explaining to them, hey, this note wasn't quite right. You didn't hold it long enough. That was a C sharp. It wasn't a C natural.
Right.
I mean, all those things. And so there is a way for me to come in with a gentle spirit to help give you maybe some counsel on decisions, but to allow you to make the decision.
Well, one of the things we learned when we were speaking with Family Life Ministries that is important for couples to remember: your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is your teammate. And so if you have a teammate that's not doing the things that they need to be doing, now you boil it down. What is a husband's job? It's to love his wife and lead his family. That's his job before God, to nourish her, to cherish her, to lead her, and to love her. And if he's not loving her, then he's missing the boat. I don't care what else he's doing. He's not doing right. And how do you know if you're loving your wife? Easy. She feels loved. She doesn't feel second to your job or to your recreation or to your friends. She feels like she's second only to the Lord, and she doesn't mind being second only to the Lord, because the Lord's going to give you the power to love her, to lead her, to be sweet to her and kind to her. And so that's his job. That's what he's going to have to answer to God for one day. How well did you, I gave you this woman, how well did you love her? How well did you nourish her? How well did you cherish her? How well did you lead her and the kids I gave you? So that's for the husband. God's not going to ask him about, well, how well did the wife respect you? That's the wife's performance review. And the answer for the wife can't be, you know, okay, wife, I gave you this husband, and I told you that your job was to respect him and to submit yourself, to rank under him, to let him lead you, and you didn't do that. Well, Lord, I didn't do that because he was such a sorry rascal, and he didn't do this, he didn't do that, he didn't do the other. That's his performance review. You know, most of us can relate to having a job where you have an annual performance review. In the performance review, you don't talk about other people in the company. You talk about your performance. And the same is true with the Lord. So he's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you, with what I commanded you to do? And so, Debbie, I think, you know, when it comes to a wife who has a husband who's very laid back,
which is what attracted us to you, right?
Right.
If we're more strong in our temperament, the fact that you were laid back was like, wow, I love that about him.
Yeah, so a really strong take charge guy and a strong take charge girl, they're not going to get together.
Probably not.
Because
yeah.
they're going to yeah. fight like crazy. But it's going to be the opposites. And so when you have a strong take-charge woman, she marries this guy that's much more laid back, then that's going to be the issue. Will she let him lead? Now, his leadership style is going to be way different from hers mm-hmm. because he is more laid back.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to, you know, not everybody has to be George Patton to be a good leader.
Right.
You know, we're not all called to be Douglas MacArthur. You know, I think it was Tim LaHaye that did the book on temperaments, and he said, you know, God chooses different types of leaders. Abraham was kind of a laid back guy, but God chose him.
Mm-hmm.
He's different from David, and David's different from Daniel, and Daniel's different from Joshua. And, you know, they're just, God chooses all sorts of leaders, and some are more forceful and take charge just in their personality, and some are more laid back. Gideon was very laid back,
mm-hmm.
But God still used him.
Well, you know, one of the things that I had to really come to grips with was my pride. My pride in thinking that I just knew best, that my way of doing it was the best way to do it, and I needed to try and just get you to come on board and, you know, wise up and realize that my way of doing it was the right way to do it. And that was a very humbling experience. And, you know, the thing with pride is you can think you've put it to death, and then another situation comes up, and it rears its ugly head again.
Uh-huh.
You know, so Our progression in getting a grip over this leadership issue was not an instantaneous thing. I mean, this took years and years for us to kind of refine it and get to where we are today in terms of that. But I had to realize that, you know, God is sovereign over all of it, and I can't change you. I have to work on me. And as a result of that, I've got to trust the Lord that I am better off under your umbrella of leadership than if I try to steal that umbrella away from you and be the one that's holding the umbrella and leading and guiding through the storms of life. It's just not going to work well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a hard lesson for me to learn just because of my temperament, but I just knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And I was continually put in situations that challenged my commitment to be that way. But I knew that that was what God wanted.
Okay, so the scripture says, Ephesians 5:33, let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. So Debbie, what does that look like in practical terms for a wife to respect her husband?
Well, I had to learn that because I would do things, say things, whatever, and I had no idea that you were interpreting that as disrespect. I truly didn't. Like, in my heart of hearts, I could just have a pure heart and say, I didn't know that that was disrespectful. And so I have come to learn over the years through trial and error that a lot of it is what I say and the tone in which I say it. Tone and facial expression are huge.
Both ways.
Yeah, in both directions. But in terms of showing you respect, it's I am not like just scoffing at every decision you make, at every idea you have, you know, and I'm not doing that. I'm allowing you, under the Lord's leadership, to make decisions. Now, the caveat to that is you have always been very good at wanting my input. You know, and I so appreciate that, because I have counseled women who their husbands just unilaterally make these decisions.
Yeah, they're not smart.
It's very, very difficult, because I do bring to the table a set of skills that you don't have. I am your helper.
You have a particular set of skills.
That's right. And so, you know, one of the main definitions of a helper is that you bring to someone something that they're incapable of bringing to themselves. And that's why it's so important that, you know, you allow me to vocalize maybe what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, but I know ultimately the decision is yours, and the burden of that decision you're going to be accountable for, not me. I'm going to be accountable to if I submitted to that and if
right.
I submitted to you. Now, again, that caveat comes into play where it's not leading into doing anything illegal or breaking the law. This does not have anything to do with a woman that's in an abusive relationship, physically or emotionally. Those are caveats that put them in a different category. But I had to learn that, and I actually had to learn it the hard way a lot of times, in terms of like just how I said something flippantly or in passing, and you receive that as nagging or very cutting or disrespectful. And I had to really start asking the Lord to make me very sensitive to that. Like, okay, hey, the words that come out of my mouth, I never want to intentionally be disrespectful to Jeff, but I know that I do that. Lord, make me very conscious of that. Just prick my spirit the moment that I'm even thinking a thought like that that's going to come out as disrespect.
Well, and here's what really helps in marriage is when you can openly talk about that. So you don't let that stuff build. So if the wife is feeling unloved, now here's the thing, Ephesians 5, before it ever talks about husband and wife relationships, it talks about being filled with the Spirit. So what do we glean from that? In order to do family God's way, you can't do it on your own. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to be the husband God wants you to be, the wife God wants you to be, the mom, the dad, even the child in the family relationship, to honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you live long on the earth. Well, we can't do that in and of ourselves. We need the Lord to do that through us. So we need to be able to talk through when we get our feelings hurt. You know, when as a husband we feel disrespected, we need to be able to tell our wives, hey, I felt like when you did that, you overstepped your bounds. I felt disrespected. And a wife can say, hey, when you said this or did this, I didn't feel very cherished. I didn't feel very loved. It really hurt my feelings. We have to be able to do that so that we can get things out on the table, so that we don't hold on to stuff. Well, he should know he did that. She should know she did that. They don't know, because it's like you said, Debbie, I'm not doing this on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, you took this it away. I didn't mean you to take it, for you to take it, and vice versa. So those things are critical. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about what is a wife to do when the husband is not leading and she so wants him to lead. Hey, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give us a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about what is a wife to do when a husband is not leading. And she looks at the man that God says, you're the leader, and he's not behind the wheel of team car.
He's not behind the wheel of the car?
Of team family.
Okay, there we go, yeah. Team family.
Not team car. He's not behind the wheel of the car, which is team family.
There we go.
So the husband's job, he's the designated driver. And so what is the wife to do? She's sitting in the passenger seat as the navigator, as the one helping him. And she's looking, and he's like, you're not driving. You've gone into the back seat to play video games. I have to grab the wheel, otherwise we're going to crash. And that's the test of faith. You don't have to do that. Right. You have to just trust God. You have to pray. So here's the thing. Right before the break, I wanted to say this. So a man is called to love his wife even when she's not lovable. How does he do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. A woman is called to respect her husband even if he's not respectable. How does she do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you do that, you're serving the Lord. You're not serving the person per se. You're doing what God's commanded you to do as a husband, as a wife. And when we obey the Lord, he blesses. Jesus said, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. The blessing is not in the knowing. Although you can't do it if you don't know it, the blessing is in the doing. And so James 4, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so, listen, your home life, your marriage and family, I mean, that is the test of your Christianity. And I've said many times, if it doesn't work at home, well, the watching world has a right to say, well, does it work at all? And the best testimony that you have, that I have, is our marriage and our family, because that's where the rubber hits the road. And you know, I realize some people make bad decisions when they get married. I think it was John Wesley who made a terrible decision when he got married, and his marriage was awful. And so you need to be wise before you get married. But our marriages are a testimony of do we really live this out?
I read this quote, and I think it's just so good. And this is from a wife's perspective. I cannot change my husband and make him more like Christ. I can aggravate him, push him away from God, make him want to be far away from me, and make us both miserable by trying to change him, make him dread being in the same room with me, but I cannot change him, not for the better. I am not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that is just so true. And if you have been in any kind of relationship for any length of time, you know that you cannot change another person. It just absolutely does not work. The only person that you can change is yourself.
Right. And the job, you know, boil the Christian life down. What is the Christian life? It's being soft clay in the hands of the master. He's the potter, we're the clay. And so my job, your job, is to just say, yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And if you will make yourself every single day and all throughout the day, just focus on, I want to go your way, Lord, not my way. I lift my hands to your commandments, which I love, as it says in Psalm 119. I surrender, and I'm going to be soft clay in the hands of the master. You can mold me, make me whatever you want me to be. And I'm going to be faithful until death, knowing that you'll give me the crown of life. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, we'd like to hear about it. And we have Monty on the line from Virginia. Monty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. I have sort of a different situation. I have not only, would be 35 years this year of marriage, but at 25, my wife decided she wanted to be married any longer. And the difficulty is how do I have people minister to my wife who has falsified a divorce? She's now going to have to appear and prove that I was never served with papers. But when we know that the love relationship that I have for her still, that when we separate, and then I came back in the house after being separated in 2017, but people know me from my hometown and know that spiritually I would do anything that is spiritually right to heal the marriage, but it's just not going to happen because the wife with her 8 kids has decided that she just doesn't want to put up with me anymore.
Well, that's extremely, thank you for your honesty, Monty. That's extremely painful. So, you know, in that situation, just like we said, you can't change the other person. And if, you know, a spouse, let's face it, Debbie, a spouse can go off the rails.
For sure.
You know, when we marry somebody, they can be one way, and then over time they can be a different way. And maybe we caused that through our behavior, or maybe we didn't. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have some kind of chemical imbalance or something like that that makes them...
Or just a propensity towards something we had no idea they had a propensity towards.
Right.
You know, in the dating relationship.
Right. Drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, all those things can change the relationship. I think it's pretty hard, Monty, because, you know, what do you do? I remember a quote from Abraham Lincoln. He said, you know, when you're attacked, don't defend yourself. He said, your friends don't need you to do that, and your enemies won't believe it anyway. So just give that over to the Lord. You know, I think that the honorable thing to do when your spouse wants out and you know it's wrong and you don't want it, but you can't stop it, I just think it's good, especially with a husband, with a wife, give her everything that she needs. Make sure, you know, with kids and stuff like that and finances, make sure to,
provide
for her. Be very gentle with her. You know, as Paul said, it would be better for you to be wronged and defrauded. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6, don't sue other believers. It's better to just be wronged in that situation. So I would look at 1 Corinthians 6 as the scripture for how do I move forward here and what do I do. Ephesians 4:29, you know, don't talk bad about her. Even though your flesh is going to want to do that, your flesh is going to want to, you know, justify yourself and say, hey, this is wrong. Hold time out here. She's painting me as this bad guy. I didn't do these things. Just know that the Lord will defend you. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And it's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. And so I would pray God's kindness, God's blessings upon her that would turn her heart and change the situation. So I hope that's helpful. And I hate that for you, Monty, because that's an awful situation.
Well, are you in Tupelo, Mississippi, or where?
No, we're in Texarkana, Texas.
Well, American Family Radio is in Tupelo.
Yeah, AFR, the studio's in Tupelo.
Yeah, I'm hoping to come there and do a telethon with those people to get some money. And God bless y'all, and thank you for your ministry.
Thank you, Monty. I appreciate you calling in. I'm sorry for your situation, for sure. Well, we have Virginia on the line from Indiana. Virginia, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear your voice and talk to you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a husband who does not lead, but says he does, but does not walk it with his life. And when approached about it or discussion comes up, he refuses to face it for himself. He always turns it towards me. You do
right.
This, you do that, etc.
Right. Yes, common. When a husband, when he knows deep down in his heart he's not doing right, if you call him out on it, yeah, he's going to be defensive. He'll blame you for it. That's a natural reaction. So I would encourage you this way. So as it says in 1 Peter 3, that a husband disobedient to the word can be won without a word. I think it's important to not focus in on those things verbally with him. I think it's just you're going to live your Christian life before him. You're going to be the best wife by God's grace that you can possibly be, to respect him, to build him up, find things he's doing well, and praise him for it.
Talk about the card. The was it Adrian that had the
no,
index
it was,
card?
Yeah, it was. How long have you been married, Virginia?
63 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Have those been overall good years?
No.
Mm.
I refrain from saying a whole lot because I don't want to batter my husband.
Yeah.
I have tried to keep his life and the way he has lived between us, and it has come back to bite me, so to speak. And there is no admittance of deep repentance. There's the surface tears, the I'm sorry, but there's the real true repentance of a broken heart and a broken spirit.
Right.
There, it's just not there. And it's evident, and I try to go that way gently, but I can see where it's irritating, so I back off.
Yeah.
And keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, that's difficult. I would just say, you know, as we talk on this program a lot, shine and share. In marriage, it's mostly the shine. It's not the sharing in terms of, you know, I want you to behave differently. It's just I'm gonna live it out before you. And, you know, all you can really do is just say, okay, what is my job as a wife? I'm going to keep doing my job by God's grace. I'm going to keep loving him. And the way a husband really receives love is through respect. And I'm just going to trust God to change him, because I can't change him. And, you know, even if this has been going on for a long time, many, many years. And so, Virginia, even if it doesn't change, you can know before the Lord you've done what he's called you to do as a wife, and that you are going to be rewarded for that. And so be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And I think what you'll find is when you resign yourself to that, Lord, I haven't seen any changes. I don't know if I'm ever going to see any changes, but I'm going to still trust you. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Just wait for the Lord. David said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So take Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, and pray those back to the Lord and say, God, by your grace, I'm going to continue to be the wife you want me to be. Help me. Show me areas where I'm not doing well as a wife and the wife that he needs. But as we've said on the program, you can't change him. You can only change you. Only God can change him, and he has to be willing for God to change him, because God's not going to override his will. And so we'll be praying for you and our listeners. Let me encourage them to be praying for you too, Virginia. I appreciate you calling in, and may God do something huge. He is the God of hope, Romans 15:13, and may he fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So thank you so much for that. We have time for one last call. We have Roy on the line from New Hampshire. Roy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Jeff.
And, good morning.
Debbie. This question came up last week in our men's meeting in our church, and because one of the gentlemen in our meeting is about to, thinking about getting married, remarried, and both him and the young lady we're divorced, and they're thinking about getting married. And the question came, the answer we gave them was, you know, it says in God's word that what God has joined together, no man will put asunder. And so we told them that you have to determine if God is really joining you together. And with my wife, I'm like, man, sometimes I right now I don't feel like the word of God says, there's no greater love than this for a man to lay down his life for his friend. Right now, I don't feel like laying my life down for my wife. Not right now. I mean, we have been bumping heads because, yeah, I think you guys hit it on the head. You got two leaders in the same household. And yeah. I think you guys really nailed it when you said that, because it's two leaders. I work on the road, and I the position that I work in, I have some authority, so I'm in charge, kind of.
Right.
And she's in charge of the house, and so it's like when I come home off the road, it's like you're two leaders that are trying to coexist. it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. Well, when you have two chiefs and no Indians, it's tough, as the expression goes. So, you know, I think Roy, you gotta find your rhythm. And Debbie and I would sit down in those early days and say, okay, you know, she was better at doing the finances than I was. So we had her do the checkbook. And, you know, I'd oversee things, so I knew what was going on, but she was the one paying all the bills, and she was good at that. She's very exact, and I'm not as exact. And so things like that, you know, when it came to purchases, she spends most of the money because she's buying most of the stuff. And so we would just have to come to an agreement on those things. And so we're not constantly fighting about it. But I know it's difficult when you're on the road and you're calling the shots in business and you come back home and she's been calling the shots. That can be tough. So may the Lord give you wisdom, my brother. Thank you for calling in. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Go out this day, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.